Okay. We left off. Yep, we left off in chapter 3. I think we had just pretty much gotten into chapter 3. Did we?
3-3.
He says, and we'll just pack up 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? And he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? I think that's where we left off last time. So, and we attempted to show, I think we got a little sidetracked on the purpose of the miracles. And what Paul's bringing their minds to is, from the start to finish, it's God's grace. Nothing they did to get saved, nothing they did during that period, or nothing they can do to stay saved, is of their own. So, and the miracles, we showed that who gives the person the ability to do the miracles?
Jesus Christ.
God did, right? God.
Well, Jesus, God, whichever.
So, a matter of fact, you call those signs, you call them what?
Miracles.
Starts with a G. Gifts.
Yes.
If it's a gift, that means what?
It was given
to you. So, and he's asking the Galatians, he says, listen, are you so foolish that you begun with a gift? Are you now made perfect by working it out on your own? And he says, okay, even the people who are among you working miracles, how's he doing it? Is he doing it by the works of the law? Now, we do now. We have classes. Like I said, we have classes to teach us how to find your gift. We have a class to teach you how to perfect your gift. We have classes teach you how to speak in tongues. Right? We don't. I mean, not us. I'm saying other assemblies do. How can you work on a gift? How can you work up on a gift? Because it's not a gift. In the way they say it in the world, it's not a gift. That's how you know God's not doing it. Because you wouldn't have to work up on it.
Right.
He enabled them to do it. So somebody says, okay, repeat after me. Just say this real fast. Jesus loves, Jesus loves, Jesus loves, Jesus. Yeah, you'd say anything if they said, say this real fast. I can tell you, say Peter Piper picked the pickled peppers. I can say that real fast. And now, like, you got it. That's it. It's manipulation. That's not a gift. And he's getting to Galatians. He says, look at the verse. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you. Those gifts, you know what those gifts did? It ministered to those people. It ministered to the Galatians. You know what that minister means? What it minister? To minister to somebody?
To teach.
It means, well, teach to, it served. It was to serve them. What do you think it was? What do you think the aim was for those gifts? When you read, when we read through Corinthians or Romans, those gifts. Hold your hand there, and we just flip back for a minute to 1 Corinthians. What do you think the gifts? What do you think? What do you? How do you think the gifts ministered to them? Before we look at this verse,
where are we going to look at?
1 Corinthians. How do you think it ministered to them?
Well, that they through those gifts they knew that Paul was a man of God.
Hmm? That's step one. But if Paul wasn't there, and those other people among them worked the miracles, what was it for?
Well, one thing would be that they, I mean, if you talk about individual things, one thing would be that they could speak in a language that could be understood by people that they didn't know how to speak in their language without the gift.
Right.
So therefore they could share God's word.
Do what?
Share God's word.
Share God's word. Okay. With the end result being what?
Edification.
That's right. Edification. To do what? To build up the body. So he said, look, in chapter 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Same principle. Verse 4. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that means there's different gifts. Different gifts. There's different things that God has enabled you Corinthians to do. And we know the Corinthians were very, very spiritual, right? No, they weren't. So while you go here, first thing you can realize is that at this time, having a gift didn't mean that you were what?
Spiritual.
It didn't mean that you were farther along than everybody else. It just means at that time that God gave you something that was designed to do what? To help. Okay? So he says there, and there are, verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Same thing. Different offices. There's different functions. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what?
Prophet.
Prophet what? With all. To profit everybody. The body. To profit with all. Now, look at verse. Drop down to verse. Same chapter. Verse 25. He goes through all those different gifts, and he says, verse 25 says, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or what one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And he goes on and says, you are the body of Christ, the members in particular. But the whole thing was for the care and the growth and the edification of that body. So Galatians, when he asked that question, back to Galatians, he that ministereth to you the Spirit, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What would your answer be?
By the faith.
By the what? By the hearing of faith. And by the empowerment of God. right? You didn't.
Galatians what?
Mm-hmm, 3. Galatians 3. So he's laying the groundwork for, he's over and over, he's saying, it's faith. It's by faith. It's by grace. It's what God has given you. It's what God is doing. You have to take your eyes off of you. Take your eyes off of the works. You have to get out of the works mode. That's what he's saying to the Galatians. And the Judaizers had came in, and it wouldn't be, if it wasn't enticing, it's always enticing for the flesh to do something. That's what we want to do. We like to show off. God, that's not true. We like to show off. We like to, it's our nature. We're selfish by nature. We like to shine. So if you get any opportunity, if the flesh gets any opportunity to shine, guess what he'll do? He'll shine. And that's what, when the Galatians, when the Judaizers came, you notice that when we talked about it a few weeks ago, where he says, they came in to spy out our liberty that they might bring us into bondage. And further in the chapter, he'll say something like this. It's good to be zealously affected in a good thing. He says, they affect you, but not well. If they see you functioning in your freedom, they saw the Galatians living free, happy, rejoicing in Christ, and they come to them and they says, mm-mm, I don't know why you're so happy. It takes more than that. It takes more than just believing. You have to do this. You have to keep the law, be circumcised, put them right back into bondage. And guess what the performance does? It just drains the life out of you. It'll drain the life out of them. Because you're walking after the flesh again.
And spiritual death.
It's spiritual death. He that hath the Son has life. If Christ, the law is the opposite of Christ. So if you don't have the Son, then what are you clinging to? Your own performance. And you can bet, just a matter of time, that and it's logical. You know what? I was riding by one day. I was riding by a church. It was a Seventh-day Adventist church. And it was on Saturday. So I'm riding by and I'm thinking, and I'm not really sure. I have to look that up. I can't remember. But a Sabbath day's journey is not that far. You know, a Sabbath day's journey where you weren't allowed to go a certain distance on the Sabbath day. And I pass by the Seventh-day Adventist church and I see all these cars parked in the driveway. And I just bet. What? What would you know what I'm going to say, right? You can just bet what?
They came from a long way away.
So you can bet somebody in there did what?
Drove too far.
In which case they did what?
Sin.
By doing what?
By breaking the Sabbath day.
Right. By breaking what?
Travel.
By going past the distance required on a Sabbath day.
Right.
Does everybody know what a Seventh-day Adventist believes?
We can tell them.
Absolutely don't know.
Well, I know somewhat they believe, but I don't know everything.
To do with the Sabbath.
Okay, you're right. They believe that they believe you have to keep the Sabbath day.
Keep it where?
Keep it holy.
So they break the law to get to how far can you go on that Sabbath?
All right, well, see, I don't know the exact distance.
Five
huh? five.
You think you found the law, but you're not.
Right. Well, and here's the problem, though, is I'm trying to think this. Okay, here we go. Here's the problem. We just say this is the law of vine. This is the law of vine. You can't take one off. If you got to look at this as a unit, you can't take one off and say, I'm going to keep this one. Because when you pull this, you got to take the whole stalk. That's the law. That's what the law says, that he says, no, look at verse, we're not there yet, but look at verse
3.
My pages are just about done.
You got a new Bible. I know. I saw it.
I do. Anyway, I can't think of the verse. I thought it was in Galatians. He says, do you hear the law? That if a man keeps the law, he's a debtor to do what? The whole law. You can't just pull one off and keep the one you like. He says, you got to take the whole thing. So they take the Sabbath. And in their minds, they're saying, oh, I'm keeping the law. But are they really?
It's 4:21.
Galatians 4?
21.
Okay. Well, you can read that, Ed, since you're over there.
Well, you can read the quote. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?
That's
4:21.
Yeah, that was, now that's part of it. Anyway, that's right. It was, but it says, you're a debtor to do the whole law. It might be in Romans.
Well, in 5:3 too. Something
5:3. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to what? To do the whole law. So. That's what, when the Galatians were agreeing to circumcision and keeping the law, they everything that had been provided for them, they were saying, well, we don't want that. And when you get under the law, he didn't say you're, it's optional.
Who came in and changed their mind?
The Jews. That were favorable of the law. You know, we have days at work you can take, and maybe you guys do too, optional days.
Yeah, mine is good. Don't get paid.
Where you could take a day if you want to.
A day off, you mean?
A day off. You know, like holidays, you know. See, some days the company is obligated to give us.
Right.
But some days they say, well, we're not obligated to give you, but you can take it off if you want to. Well, a man in the law, when God says, when I give you this standard, you're obligated to keep it. It's not optional. If you want to get under the yoke, you have to take the whole yoke. Y-O-K-E, yoke. You can't pick the ones you want and say, this is good. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he's, why callest thou me good? There's none good save one. He says, you know it. Keep the commandments. And he says, he names off a few that he liked. You know, Jesus names off to, and he says, all these things have I done from my youth. What lack I? And then he pulled the ace out. He said, well, tell you what, if you would be perfect, go and sell all that you have and follow me. And he did it. He didn't do it. You know what the scripture said? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So he broke number, thou shalt not covet. I don't know what number that is. So he was done.
He was coveting his possessions.
He was coveting, yeah. Because he loved those more than God. So he had, you know what? That was it. He was self-righteous, though. He was confident in his performance until the Lord gave him one that, how about this one? Couldn't do it. Were you looking for that? Did you find it?
The last one.
Oh, 10?
Yeah.
But if he hadn't kept asking, he would have been okay.
Well, that's the point is, he wants to back you into a corner where you have to say, I can't do it on my own. As long as you think you could do it on your own, you'll try it on your own. And that's the thing, he doesn't want you to do that. That's why he says, and we go further, he says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. He wants to, you know, it's kind of, he gives you that rope and he just wants to pull you right on in to him. And you can finally say, you know what, there's nothing I can do to please him. In my flesh. Okay. Now back to Galatians. So he reminds them of how they got it. He reminds them of how they're getting it by faith. And then he starts with this example, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He says, just like you're getting it, just like Abraham. Now, wow, okay, hold your hand there and look at James.
Which is
after Hebrews, right. After Hebrews and before 1 Peter. All right. Chapter 2.
Who are we looking at?
James. Now, while we're over there, let's make a quick pit stop. Chapter 2, verse 10. He says this, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in what?
One point,
he is what?
Guilty of all.
Guilty of all. You don't get a good mark for effort. He says, you can keep, if you're trying to keep the law and you offend in one point, that means you have to get, on this test, you have to get what?
100%.
Every time. Paul said in Romans, he says, you have to have patient continuance and well doing. That's every day, all day, all right, all the time.
So a lot of work.
Isn't that a lot? who would really sit down and see the qualifications for that and say, anybody want to try it? And they say, I think I'll try it.
That stupid young man.
Oh, foolish
one.
Right. What would make a man do that?
He doesn't
really
believe.
He doesn't really believe.
His ego.
His pride. His pride would have him do that. Because the Lord says over and over again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No.
Not one.
They are all together unprofitable. If you preach that, if you said there, good example. You sit here and you can read it over. You said, the Lord said there's none righteous. No, not one. Seemed like that would settle the matter, wouldn't it?
Right.
Or he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You think if you're reading Scripture and you believe Scripture, you'd say, I'm in that all. Wouldn't you?
Right. Absolutely.
But there's always somebody.
Not me.
That's in their mind and they run it through and they find a loophole where, well, he means sin like killing people. Or he means sin like drinking or whatever. Whatever it is, it's what they're not doing. So they find that little area where I'm here. He can't be talking about me. Right? But all is all. And if you're really honest with yourself, you know you're a sinner. Don't we? We know, you know what? We know he doesn't have to do a whole lot of convincing. To me, anyway. Maybe some other. And you know what? And the thing is, you know, Steve, I never drank. I never smoked. That's what we like. We always call off things that we never did. Because that's that pride again.
Definitely,
you know what? And this is what the first commandment is: this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it kind of elaborates on it, and it says this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Come on, who are we kidding? You think about the Lord all day, every day. You love him all day, every day, with all your heart, mind, and soul?
Just when I'm in trouble.
Just when I'm in trouble, right. You know, that reminds me, there was a guy, we'll get back to this in a second here. There was a guy, he was hiking, and he was like enjoying the mountain view, and he went to an area where, to get a better look, and he lost his footing, and he slipped over, and he fell down, and he was plummeting down this cliff, and he grabbed onto a branch. You know, I just had those branches sticking out of the mouth. So he's grabbed onto the branch, and he's like, he looks down, and he's like, oh, I'm going to die. And he's like, oh, God, if you get me out of this, please. It's like, God, if you're out there, God, please help me. And after a while, he's like, he called his name. He's like, we'll say, John. John, is that you, God? Yes. He's like, do you want to be saved? Yes, I do. He's like, do you trust me? He's like, yes, I do. He says, let go. And he looks down and he looks around and he says, is anybody else out there? Can you hear me? That's how much we love God. You don't really, really trust him. Because you know what? You have to let go of self. You have to. That's what Paul meant when he said this. My strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. So therefore, he said, therefore, I don't have a problem letting go of the branch. Because what you know, that's what he wants you to see. You're dead without him. You can't do it on your own. We can't do it on our own. Where was I? Oh, James. I'm sorry. Man. James chapter 2, right? Verse 10. That's right.
God said, if you want to live, and he said, let go, God may have been talking about spiritually.
Well, he wants us to let go spiritually, right? Now, that was just a joke earlier.
I know I was.
What we wanted was verse 20.
Chapter 2, 20?
Yeah, 20. 21. So, Paul had just told the Galatians that just like Abraham was justified by faith, he says, you are. Just like Abraham believed God, he says in verse James 2, 21, he says, now watch this. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, what? The friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now that's James. Do you wonder why Martin Luther said, I want to light my stove with James?
Yeah.
That's what he said. Because he couldn't explain that. So what we do, when I say we, most preachers, they'll mix it and put us under works like this. So here you got, here's Abraham. We're going to say this is Abraham, right? Here's Abraham. And here's Abraham. Got long arms, don't he? That's Genesis 15. That's Genesis 17. That's Genesis, I believe it's 19. Let's see something. Let's see if we can learn something what Paul's talking here about Abraham. So he says, verse 3, I'll read this again. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, I was at home one day, one Saturday, I was at home, and some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. And she had a booklet, and it was about Abraham. And she says, do you believe this world is getting better? And I said, no, I know it's getting worse. I know it's got to be that way. And she says, well, don't you want to know about a world to come that will be joy and peace? And I was like, yeah, I know all about that. And she says, well, would you take this? And she says, well, read this about Abraham, and we could be the children of Abraham. Wouldn't you like to be a child of Abraham? And I said, yeah. And she said, and she gave me the, I said, well, you know what? I says, I don't want to read the book. And she says, why not? I said, I want you to tell me about Abraham. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, I don't want to read the book. I want you to tell me about Abraham. And she says, well, he was the father of faith. I said, okay. And what else? Well, that's all in the book. I was like, see? What I'm trying to get you to see is, if you can't tell me about Abraham, you don't know about Abraham. Right?
Right?
And because what I wanted to show her is what God said about Abraham. James said this, Abraham got it by works. Paul says, no, he didn't. James says, it was faith and works. Paul said, no, it's not. Jehovah's Witness says, it's faith and works. I'm saying, no, it's not. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Or maybe both of us are right. Or maybe both of us are wrong. But if you don't know about Abraham, you can't make that judgment, can you? Let's find out about Abraham. All right. Genesis chapter 12. She never did tell me, though. She ran out of ammunition, so to speak. Because they don't read. They just parrot. Parrot. You know, like... What'd you say, Steve? Yeah, right. Right. They repeat what they hear. What they're told to say. And they have a set, like they have a circular reasoning where they pick out scriptures and says, okay, you go here. And if he says this, okay, you go here. Or if he says that, then you go here. And if he says that, okay, you go here. And then you go here. And then you're back at the same spot again. And they just go around and around because all they have is those verses. So when you take that magazine and say, you tell me. Tell me about Abraham. Now, all of a sudden, that's, you know, I used to watch the Looney Tunes, and when the guy, like, he was doing something, and when he ran out of information, he just started dancing, you know. And that's what I think where, you know what, they started to, you got to do something else because you got nothing else to say. And so finally, the guy, it was a guy with him, and I guess they kind of motioned to him, and he came out, and I guess he was the backup, I don't know. But anyway, they left peacefully, and they never came back after that, by the way. Genesis 12. They probably marked my house. You know, they used to do that. They do that in Detroit. Yeah. Yeah, well, because, you know, it's, they like see that you can see them going by. We'll get over here in a second. They see you go by, and they know they've been to my house, and then they just... They keep on going. They're like, don't go there. That's... That guy's trouble.
Put a little blood over the door.
That's, they see it. They say, you know what, that house, that's a demon. He's demonized. So they just kind of like keep on going. That's when they can't brainwash you.
Right.
You know, so, and it's only because you know more than the verses that they stepped out on. You know, you more flip chart, you know, flip. And they say, put the chart. Put that chart up. Put that up. Let's talk. You believe the scripture? Let's talk. Give me your Bible. Give me your Bible. I'm going to use your Bible. And then you go through that and they're like, we'll be back next week. They never come back. Okay, Genesis 12. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will curse them, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left, when he departed out of Haran. You know what? I want to put one more up here just so, because I did miss that one. So we know God first appeared to Abram when in Genesis 12, right? And he made him a promise, right? Right? He says, I'll make you a great nation. He says, you just leave and follow me by yourself. Right? Of course, he took people with him. He says, you leave and I'll make you a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. right? Okay, 15. Genesis 15. This is after Abraham, his father died. His nephew, he left his nephew. When God called Abraham, matter of fact, when God called Abram, he called Abram, right? He took his father, he took Lot. Okay? So Lot, in between here and here, Lot leaves, his father dies. 15, he says this. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Right? Came unto Abram in a vision. And said in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what? For righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to what? Inherit it. And he goes on to make a covenant with Abram right here. And he puts him to sleep. He puts him to sleep. That's important. Right? Why is that important? Because Abram has nothing to do with this covenant. He's the recipient of God's grace. He believes God right here. Right? He's by himself. God has got him where he wanted him. Just him and his wife. And he says, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you this land to inherit it, to your seed. And Abram what? He believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Well, wait a minute. James said that God, he was righteous when he did what? Offered Isaac. Mm-hmm. Well, back here, God says he's righteous, and he doesn't even have a son. Are you, follow me? Well, who's right? God's right. Thank you. God said he imputed it to him right here. So Abram is righteous what? Abram is righteous right here. By doing nothing but believing the promise that God gave to him. All right? Okay. 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Drop down to verse 10. and this is my covenant. Now, before we do that, didn't he make a covenant with Abram right here?
Yes.
And what was Abram doing?
Sleeping.
He was asleep. So really, God made him a promise, didn't he? That's all it was. It was a covenant of one, of God. Well, he comes down here, and he makes another covenant. Now, he says, verse 10, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what? Circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be what?
Cut off.
From his people he hath what?
Broken
my covenant. So he comes right here in Genesis 17. And he gives him what? Circumcision. Covenant. He's got to do something here. He's got to do something. And his seed after him. Right? He says, if you want to be, if you want to get in on this covenant, you got to do what? Be circumcised. Now, this became that's a block. That became the first block in the middle wall of partition, which is the law. Right here. It's works. That's, isn't that what Galatians is talking about? Back here, because the, think about it now, you're a Jew. You know this. You know this was given to our father, Abraham. He says, we must be what?
Circumcised.
We have to be. And keep the law. Because this and that, they go together. Even though it wasn't until years later. But when he circumcised these people, he said, you're telling me that you want to keep my commandments. That's what God told him. So when it got down to Moses, he had a whole group of people who were getting circumcised, but they weren't doing this because they didn't have it yet. But it was added. It was added, we're going to find out, because of transgressions. It was added because they thought this made them privileged. I hope I'm not confusing you. Because what this really meant was, I want to put you in a position to give you something. Circumcision just meant death to the flesh. Circumcision meant really the opposite of what they thought it meant. Circumcision, God wanted them to think this. Circumcision, don't work. Don't work. But they took it, and he had to add this because they wanted to. They thought they were better. I can't even think of a good example. You know, if you were, if just say you were in a family and you were born with everything, you had everything, you never had to beg, you had everything you needed. And that would make you high-minded. So somebody has to come along to you and prove to you that you're no better than a poor child. Right? In which case, they would have to take those things away from you. You know, to show you. But in this case, God had to show them that they really weren't living up to the covenant. They were getting circumcised, but they didn't want him. They didn't want God. They just got circumcised because they were obligated to do it.
Because they were 8 days out.
That's why they did it. They weren't thinking about God. Oh, I want to follow you, God. I want to be one of those seed. They just, hey, my father circumcised me. His father circumcised him, and that's the way we were told. They didn't have God on their mind. So he added that because they were so far off. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, 19. That's what it is. I just thought about it. It's 22. Yep, 22.
We know you don't have a lot of
this. 20. Yeah, Isaac is born in 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham, he rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood and the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Everything's good, right? Abraham's following God's instructions. And then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And then you find out further that God provides a ram for them in the bush, in the thicket. So here is when he does what? Offers Isaac. Way over here in Genesis 22. And he says, now I know that you believe God. Way over here. But God knew it what? God knew it way back here. He knew it way back here. So what James focuses on is his works. Because you couldn't just say, I'm following God. I'm a believer. You had to do something. You had to show your obedience. Okay. No, I was. Yeah, I'm thinking. That's okay. What is that sound? But
it's a door.
So anyway, isn't it funny that James, and you got to know, that's why James picks this. Because he knows that they have to do works accompanying their belief. But Paul, he doesn't mention this, circumcision. He doesn't mention Isaac. He goes right here and mentions where God imputed righteousness to Abram just for believing his promise.
Because he's explaining what
the Galatians got, what we get. And that's why he said, look at verse, go back to Galatians. But while we going back there, you know what, two verses. Stop at Romans 4 and then Galatians. Romans 4 and Galatians 3, and then we'll stop. He says, Romans 4 first. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? You know what? He's looking up here. When you think of all these snapshots of Abraham, he says, what can we say that Abraham got? Right? He said, what can we say about Abraham? What did he get? Verse 2. For if Abraham, watch what Paul says. For if Abraham were justified by works, look up. If Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, right? But not before God. He says this, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, right here. Abraham, look up here for a minute. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for what? For righteousness. For now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, drop down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be as though they were. And he's talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He made a promise to Abraham right here. He says, I'm going to give you a seed. Multiply your seed and they're going to be a blessing. And he says it. He says to him, I don't have a what?
A
I don't have a son. How can you bless me? He lets him get all the way over to where he's 99 and good and dead. He's good and dead so he can do this. So he could follow through on his promise to Abram. Without him, he worked here, didn't he? God promised him this, and he waited till Abram couldn't work. He couldn't work. Literally, he couldn't work. So he says this, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God promised, right here, what God promised, he was what? He was able, he was, that he was able also to perform. And therefore, why? Why is it, what's the therefore, therefore?
Because of this.
Because you can see it. He says that he was, he staggered not at the promises, right? That's not, anyway. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but what? He was strong in faith. He was what? Fully persuaded. And he did. Staggered not at the promises. He was strong in faith. He was giving glory to God. Right? He was giving glory. I'm running out of room there. Fully persuaded. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Do you see works in any of these qualities of Abraham? How about here? Works here? Definitely works here, right? He says, now, it was not written. We just read Genesis, something out of Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. That story, he said, was not written for his sakes alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the Lord, Jesus our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. Now, Galatians. He says, all this was written for our sakes. And he's writing to the Galatians who had got mixed up with works again. And he says this. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. But he says to the Galatians, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Can you follow Paul now? Does that make it a little easier when he brings up Abraham? When he says, so then, he's saying, we're the children of Abraham, if not if we work. Like James says, we're the children of Abraham if we stagger not at his promise, if we're strong in faith, if we're giving glory to God and not our self-glory, and if we're fully persuaded that what he promised, that what he promised, that he's able to what? Do it. And he said this, Christ died for our sins, right? He was buried. God rose him again the third day. He said that I'm pleased with my son's effort. You gonna last? You gonna make it, Louise? No. Dion was the bell. That's my bell. But he's saying the same way Abraham believed. If we believe our message, He says, we've become the children of Abraham by faith. It has nothing to do with works. So next week we'll find out if we do go back to works, you go back to the curse. If you put yourself under the works, you put yourself under a curse. Now,
he started a law when there were no laws.
He started a law when there were no laws.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
Because it was Moses several years later that he delivered the law to.
Right. Thousands of years later. So let's stop there.